There was the breaking news. There's the Harden contract. Cavaliers clear a little space, and James Harden re-signs with the Cavaliers. 2 years plus a player option for a third year. Player option for a third year. So the Cavaliers make the big trade yesterday, big five-team deal. Key in that is they end up getting Peyton Watson, the wing guy, who they wanted a wing guy, so they got a ring guy, and that's a good thing. Wing guy, ring guy. If a wing guy can turn into a ring guy, you really got something there, Dan. And now James Harden returns to the team. I wonder about the James Harden contract. James is still a very good NBA player, but that's a lot of money for an older guy who, though I like him better as a fit for this team than I like Darius Garland, I still wonder, okay, you got two ball dominant guards in the backcourt. What are you going to do?
This is the cost. This is the cost of the trade you made for Darius Garland. This is the cost you decided to go with. Would I have done this move? No, no way. But this is the cost. 3 years, $97 million. Player option on the third year. This is the cost. I mean, I hate to put it that way, because the problems that I've always had with James Harden are the fact that, A, James Harden plays James Harden ball at James Harden pace. And I hope that Kenny Atkinson can get through to him that if this team is going to go where James Harden wants this team to go, which is to win a title, so then that way he doesn't have to listen to that for the rest of his career. He wants to win a title. The Cavs want to win a title. The problem is Kenny Atkinson is going to need to get through to James Harden that we can't just live life playing high screen and roll basketball until the end of time with you playing with the ball in your hand going pound, 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 then kicking it to Donovan Mitchell to go pound, 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 pound. Like, that's the part of this that I hope has been explained to James Harden, that if you want to win a title, you need to evolve.
Just over $32 million a year on average if he picks up his third year option.
You ready for this? This is according to Shams Charania. Harden's career earnings now reach $511 million, making him the fourth player in NFL history to eclipse $500 million.
NBA.
In the NBA, joining the 76ers, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry.
Well, it's that's good. A nice how do you do.
Yeah, it's good work if you have the skill.
It's good work to. They always said the best part about basketball is that you can get better by yourself because all you need is a ball and a hoop.
And you can.
And you can. And good for him. Good for him. Good for him to be able to do it. Jeff, where do you think this puts the Cavaliers? Do you like this move?
Honestly, Dano, I thought when they made the Garland trade, for some reason it just immediately struck me that, okay, they're clearing Darius's money off the books. Harden's deal is up. He will leave, and they'll have that money to use on somebody else. I did not envision James Harden becoming a part of this long term. And by long term, I mean during this run with Donovan Mitchell. You know, this to me, it's all in focus now. Donovan signs his contract extension. What was his 4 years, 290 some odd million dollars or whatever, 260, I think it was, something like that. And he's under contract through 2031. They've given up control, basically, of all of their draft choices in the first round. I think they have one of them. I think they have the 2030 pick. But they traded the 2031. So you're not really going to – and you do have another first-round pick that you traded the best pick of the two with Utah. And so you would assume that if the Cavs do what they're supposed to do, they'd keep their own pick that year. But I believe there's still, so now three more first-round picks that are off the board. Okay. As long as you have an owner who's willing to spend money like crazy, you can fill out a team. And that's okay. I get that. And a first-round pick means you only get one a year. Well, what happens if you get to 2030 and that pick, Donovan, something happens to Donovan and blah, 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 and all of a sudden your team is sitting in the top seven, And that's the painful part. But again, you can go out and you can sign free agents, and Kobe Altman's not afraid to make trades and big trades, and he's made good trades. But I think I think tying yourself to a player at James' age is tough. His style of play can be tough. I think it's up to Kenny Atkinson to make it work, but he's got to make it work. He has to. James has to play, and James got paid, so I would think that James would be willing to do whatever it took to make this team as powerful and successful as it possibly can be. And he's done that before in his career. So I'm anxious to see what they come up with additions to the team. And again, Peyton Watson's not going to be your first option. He's not your second option. He's not your third option. He might not even be the fourth option in the offense. And I'm real anxious to see what other young guys come along, because I think they're a little light in the backcourt now, but with plenty of options in the backcourt. And that means just somebody has to step up and be really good. And hopefully somebody can to help out Mitchell and Harden.
And I think they have that level of talent to do it. Like, anytime I've watched Craig Porter, I've always found myself wanting to see more.
Yeah, I like Craig. Yeah. I think he's done a nice job. And it's about time.
Yeah.
You know, they signed him to a contract. When they brought in Schroeder, I kind of thought, well, you signed Porter. You don't like Craig enough yet? Maybe now they do. Maybe they love Malik Thomas. Maybe they think Malik's going to be a backup point guard.
You were screaming for toughness. I mean, everybody was screaming for toughness. Dennis Schroeder brings toughness. That's the one thing he brings, on top of the fact that he's another guy that every time he steps on the floor, he believes he's the best player out there.
Which I loved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you can see why
Schroeder's tough, man.
Absolutely. But you can see how that philosophy would rub teams the wrong way. We'll say that.
Well, he's been on, 12 of them?
Exactly.
Something like that.
But I knew from the beginning when they made the trade that there was no way that this was just going to be a half season and done. Especially when you start hearing things like waiving trade kickers and whatever else would come with it. You're like, okay, you're signing up for this. And this is it, folks. This is the all-in move. This is your chips are in the middle of the table. Your team going into this Eastern Conference is going to be Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Peyton Watson, Sam Merrill, and whomever, Jalen Tyson.
Jalen Tyson.
Thank you.
Mario Hezonja.
Hezonja, and whoever else is out there. This is it. Because all of the major assets that you could have moved around have now been allocated for.
Yeah.
And so this is the team. And I am fascinated to see if this team is going to be able to conquer the 7 games against the Raptors that they had last year and be able to turn that, I don't know, into a 5-game series. Will this group be able to not have the Detroit series turn into 7 games and turn that into a 5-game series? So then that way, if you find your way to the Eastern Conference Finals again, we're not all looking at each other going, well, they're clearly just out of gas.
Do they have enough depth in the backcourt? And I'm going to put Jalen Tyson in the backcourt for now. Jalen Tyson, Craig Porter, young guy, though he's played okay, still unproven in a bigger role. Malik Thomas, 19, 20-year-old rookie who looked great in the summer league, but that, good for him. Hopefully he can be a player. I like Sam Merrill. Is Tyrese Proctor going to be anything? I mean, is he going to be a rotation guy who can handle the ball? I think they could use a little depth in the backcourt. But I wonder if they have it, and it's not yet quite developed. For instance, Jalen Tyson. And Malik Thomas certainly could become that guy. But remember, Malik Thomas was a second-round pick. I hate to pin that on draft position. But draft position in the NBA, even if you're a later pick, it usually means, okay, he will need time to develop. Not always. It's not always the case. For instance, everybody's giddy about Peyton Watson, right? Getting the Cavs him in the trade. Mm-hmm. And I understand. I like the move. He was a 30th pick in the draft. And so he was the last guy taken in the first round of a draft. Took him some time. 4 years in, he had a good year and he cashed in. Now can he build on that? Do the Cavs have enough in the backcourt? I wonder that a little bit. Do they have enough depth at forward? You got rid of Max Strus, who can play guard. Max could play a little small forward for you. But you signed Hezonja. You have Cam Whitmore right now. But if you're going to waive him and stretch out that, mm-hmm. that salary, does that mean you're still going to go out and try and bring in Jonathan Kuminga?
I don't know if you can under the cap, though.
If he accepted a veteran minimum, you could.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
That's not what he wants.
DeMar DeRozan.
So I guess the Nuggets are interested in bringing him in after making the trade.
I would understand that.
So would I. Except if I were them, I would also be talking to Kuminga, too.
But if you're the Cavs, I mean, you okay with your depth in the front court being Hezonja, Cam Whitmore, who might not be here because you're going to waive him, Naquan Tomlin, Thomas Bryant, Ernest Udeh? It seems a little light, doesn't it?
Especially, all right, so one of my favorite things to do when I'm evaluating a roster is the great line of 15 players get you there, 8 win you the thing, win you the title.
Yeah.
Right? That's always kind of the thought coaches have had. 15 guys get you there.
So who are your 8 that win you this title?
All right, so I'm at 7.
You're starting 5.
Harden, Mitchell, Allen, Mobley, Watson. Okay, so that's the 5.
Yes, you're starting 5.
You're locked
5.
In there. I trust Merrill. I trust Tyson.
That's 7.
And I don't know who the 8th is.
That's correct.
Do you agree?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So that's why I say I think there might be a little light.
So during this season of 82, you need to figure out who your 8th is.
That's probably goal one. And probably 9th and 10, because you can't bank on everybody staying healthy.
Good point.
Thanks.
So you're going to need to figure those out. And the problem with doing this is that none of those guys that are in that 8 are in the back, are in the front court.
Yeah, that their front court seems a little light.
I think that's the concern. I can live through Porter Jr. back a point guard. I could try to make it work with Proctor. I could try to make it work with whomever else there. They need one more pick.
I want to see what Malik Thomas can bring me.
I want to see Malik Thomas, too. They need one more pick. I think that's where I would look next. The problem is I don't know who you're going to go get.
And if you get rid of Cam Whitmore, which, you know, I understand financially, maybe that's something they think they have to do or they do have to do. I would think he would be in my top 8.
Yeah.
If he was healthy and here, but apparently he's not going to be.
And that guy that I'm looking for is not a top tier awesome guy coming off of the bench either that's going to be there. I mean, I just, for lack of better terminology, and maybe this is too far into the weeds, find me Bismack Biyombo. Like, if you can get me someone
kidding?
Who can
That'd
just
be phenomenal.
Just grab boards and block shots.
That's
done.
Of course.
Sign me up.
That would be perfect.
That's exactly who needs to be here. Now, I don't know who that guy is in the modern NBA right now who's still floating out there who could fill the Bismack Biyombo role of just run around, block shots, grab boards, let's go.
That would be phenomenal.
But that's exactly what they need. The way that Kevon Looney used to always do that for the Golden Warriors State. Back in the day. Yep, yep.
Cavs make the big trade. Part of a 5-player, 5-team trade. They give up Schroeder in that deal. They give up Max Strus. They give up an unprotected first-round draft choice. And they get, it looks like, one guy, Peyton Watson. And they sign James Harden.
Ron, Durant, and Steph Curry, all players who've made over $500 million in their career, and now James Harden joins them.
That would be half a bill, by the way. Half a billion dollars.
It's good to be good at basketball.
All because you're good at basketball.
It's good to be good at basketball.
Isn't it weird, our priorities in our country and the way things work?
Jeff.
I am the best dang high school social studies teacher east of the Mississippi. Hey, congratulations. Here's your 55G.
Jeff, okay. We don't have time to go down the the fact that maybe some of this stuff is slightly out of whack.
That's another show, isn't it, Dan?
That's a deeper conversation that could, you know, parallel with what I found for
but
sports
by golly,
history coming up.
I am really, it's some of the stupidest stuff. Sports is the stupidest stuff. Now, I've made my career, you know,
same.
Like talking about covering, reporting on sports. It's so stupid. It's ridiculous.
It's the great unifying distraction.
You
it's fantastic.
And you can
it's
do
the
it.
It's a great unifier.
You can do it in every sport. Golf. I'm going to hit this little ball mm-hmm. over all of this acreage with a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can hit it fewer times than you, mm-hmm. I'm better.
Mm-hmm.
And I make money.
Absolutely. Not only money, but I can find someone who is going to give me $700 million to hit that little white ball for my tour.
I've always,
and then have the tour go defunct but still have to pay.
I've always loved baseball in so many ways. pitcher, I'm really good at throwing this round ball to that guy in there over that little weird-looking square thing in a way that you can't hit it with that round stick. That's something.
I will make sure that you do it here and only here for the next 8 years for $325 million.
That guy's really good at picking up the ball that these guys hit with a stick and throwing it over to that other square, that guy who's over at that square thing over there, before you can run down to where he is.
And for you, you will get 2 years for about $20 million, especially if you stand in the center of the diamond and not in either of the corners for that ability.
We could go on and on and on.
It's insane. Yes, you're right. Again, this is not the place to
sports
do
are silly.
Sports are
we
so
silly.
We
say here on Sports it's Talk Radio.
It's the best. It's why it will forever make me smile. It's the greatest distraction we all have going to everything else.
And I'm really good at taking this bigger ball and throwing it through that circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm good at giving it to other guys who are good at that too. And I can stand in front of you and stop you from doing it.
Well, the guy,
and for that, I get $500 million.
I was going to say, the guy who did that just get two of those three things. Woo! Just got 3 years and $99 million for being really good at doing two of those three things.
I forget all of our just stupid conversation we just had. I said last week, I said the week before, everybody was all over the Cavaliers. Oh, they're not doing anything. It's a disastrous offseason. The season doesn't start till October, folks.
And hell, LeBron would tell you the season doesn't start until mid-February when the trade deadline passes.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. But the Cavs have now made moves. And they get Peyton Watson, a wing guy, much-needed wing guy. And they sign up James Harden, which we kind of figured would be closely followed. Would follow after the trade, a trade, whatever trade it was. I still think they could use another body or two. My guess is they'll find one, but that's your Cavs team. Mm-hmm. Henry is in Akron. Henry, thank you for calling back. I know you wanted to talk earlier in the show, and we were talking football.
How are you, Henry?
Henry wanted to talk basketball, but he doesn't want to talk now. Henry, call back. So there.
That'll happen.
Do you like the look of this team? And do you like the look of this team as a top-notch competitor in the Eastern Conference?
So I was going to do that. I was going to make that list. So I think Philly, and again, this is all on paper, right? It's all we have right now is paper. I think the Knicks are still better if everybody's healthy on paper.
Than the Cavs?
Yes.
Okay.
Agreed? Or am I nuts?
I like the Knicks.
Okay. Philly is the interesting one. Because I don't think they're going to go through the whole season with Joel Embiid being healthy. Now, the question is...
They might not need him to be.
Well, yeah, it's valid. But you do need somebody who can play defense and can rebound, and he can do
as
that
you said,
really well.
Somebody rebound for me and play some D inside.
And he's a pick-and-roll monster who takes some of the pressure off.
That's the type of a team that could just go get somebody to play center and just drop him in there and have that kind of a center. Because with Maxey and Edgecombe and LeBron... And Jaylen Brown, you don't even need Embiid to score.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is nice having somebody who's 7 feet tall and can pass the way that guy can. And take some of the pressure off your ball handlers.
When Embiid's healthy, he's phenomenal.
Right.
He's one of the, I would say, when he's healthy, he's top five.
The question is, can that guy be healthy? By the way, I don't expect you to have this answer because I don't think any of us have this answer in any way. He's Joel Embiid. He's the ultimate wild card going. You dream that he would be healthy.
Danny hasn't been healthy in his career.
Right.
He came into the league not healthy.
Right. And when he was healthy, he won the damn MVP.
You would assume that he's not going to be healthy. However, if you can get him healthy for March, April, May, and June, that's all you need, really.
That's all you need.
It's really all you need.
That's all you need.
Yeah, Henry was in Akron, and Henry is called back. Henry, are you there now?
Henry, how are you, man?
Yes, I'm there now. Thank you for taking my call. I was going to say that was an awesome deal to retain Harden. And then I was going to say this again. It don't matter how many wing players we get, as long as we got Atkinson, we're not going to get to the finals. We're not going to win the finals. I'm sick of this. This is not Golden State. All he thinks about is shooting threes. We need a doggish team, a team with a dogmatic attitude. Until they get there, we're not winning nothing. That's what I got to say.
Henry, glad you called back.
I do need to point out that Peyton Watson's probably more of a slasher than anything else. And the three-point shot...
It's evolving.
It's evolving. But he's definitely more of an explosive slasher and somebody who can do a lot of killer back cuts and can find his own shot as well.
I like getting Peyton Watson. 6'8" athletic guys who can defend, that's good. He's an evolving player. He's a young guy. And keep in mind, I think the Cavs paid a lot to get a guy, and I don't mean to diminish what he did as he was developing as a player. They paid a lot, both in money and in assets, to get him for a guy who's been pretty good for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep your fingers crossed, Dan, that is, a as Kevin Stefanski would say, trending appropriately. And that the 1 year wasn't a fluke.
I don't think it is, just because the guy's such an athletic marvel.
I don't either.
Yeah.
However.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's still a small sample. No, you're correct.
The guy's had one good year in the NBA. Let me take it back. He's had about 55 good games in the NBA.
That's a good point.
Because he missed about 30 games last year.
That's a good point.
Mike's in Cleveland. Hello, Mike.
How are you, Mike?
Hey, how are you, man?
Great.
Doing well.
So you, when just a little bit ago, when you were talking about contracts and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, remember, I know this, I have to remember one sentence here. When A-Rod signed for $250 million for 10 years with the Rangers.
I know it well.
Thank you, John Hart. But everybody's like, oh, my God, this is insane. Now that would be, like, the norm. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's gotten so outrageous that one of the greatest analogies was just 5 minutes ago, and like, oh, yeah, I can do 2 out of 5 things well, so here's $99 million for 4 years.
I can
cook 17 things at the same time, and I make $24 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm just so... it is what it is.
Yeah, it's the world we're living in. I mean, like... Again, this isn't a civics program. This isn't a better allocation of anything like that. We're a sports show. We're here to have some fun with it and all of that kind of good stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of whack.
I mean, if I could do it, I would.
Absolutely.
If I had the cash, I'd pay everybody.
Absolutely.
You know, let's get it going.
Sadly, people aren't signing up to watch us work, and I wish they would.
You guys deserve more, I'm sure.
Well, Mike, I couldn't agree with you more.
I couldn't either.
Mike's the caller of the day.
Everybody wants more. Everybody needs more.
Absolutely.
You know?
Of course.
So,
absolutely.
And then one more thing. Do you think they keep Harden, or is he going to be on the move?
I think they keep him, Mike. I do. I think he's here. He's got a trade kicker, too.
So.
Just like Watson.
All right. I didn't want to do this now, but it got brought up. Does Harden see year two of that contract?
Yes.
Does Harden see 2.5 of that contract?
Hmm. 216-474-0092 is the number to join us.
This is the problem, is it's James Harden. At any point, he can throw his hands up and just go, I'm out. I'm done. I've done everything I can. Get me the hell out of here.
Because
he's done it. He went MIA on the Clippers. They couldn't find him until they were watching the Arizona Wildcats basketball game and saw him sitting courtside during their own game. Like,
well, see, that,
this is James Harden.
Can I tie this back in with what we talked about earlier?
Sure.
This is where he's going to have to buy in. I'm sorry. If James, and I'm not bashing the guy, because I don't think you should bash him. He's phenomenal. He's been a phenomenal NBA player. He's one of the best players in NBA history. But if he could buy into, if Kenny Atkinson is selling this, hey, James, 15 points, 10 assists. Turn Donovan into a 22, 23-point-a-game guy. Get Evan his 20 a game and get Peyton Watson 14 and get Jared Allen 13, 14 points. You're a better team than you are if you have Donovan scoring 28 and James scoring 23. And James didn't even shoot that much with the Cavs last year. But as you've pointed out accurately, he has the ball in his hands a lot. And this team, you've now got a big guy in Evan Mobley who can run the floor like crazy. You've got Peyton Watson, who's a real athletic guy and can run the floor like crazy. You have a big in Jared Allen who gets up and down the floor, is good in transition, does a nice job. And then you've got two guards who like to slow the game down a little bit. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work the way it could, I think, personally. And I'm anxious to see what Kenny Atkinson gets these guys to do, style of play-wise.
Because I don't think Kenny Atkinson is a bad coach.
I think Kenny's a good coach.
I think Kenny Atkinson said one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life, and it's going to follow him throughout his entire career.
Yeah, the Knicks line.
Everywhere he goes, that was one of the silliest things. Were there things that Kenny Atkinson did as well in that playoff series that made my head hurt? Yes. Were there parts he should have called a timeout? Absolutely. Especially during that Knicks comeback.
During the 20-something point comeback.
Yeah. Would have been really nice to call a timeout. Does he do things like that? Yes. But he has brought in an offense that moved, unlike what J.B. Bickerstaff had here, which he had a defensive lockdown presence. But boy, you watched it when you went up against it. That thing was the clogged toilet. And it was a mess. And you saw it in Cleveland, too. You would get a little bit of action, then everybody would kind of just look at Donovan and go, okay,
can you bail us out?
Make something happen, bud.
Yeah.
And it seems like year two, maybe we get more of that offense. The main thing is the two guards need to buy in, and especially Harden, that, hey, you need to be able to play multiple ways. It can't just be pounded pick and roll.
You don't need to turn Peyton Watson into a 20-point-a-game scorer. That's not why he's here. But you also don't need to see him regress and not score double digits.
But you need to get him enough touches. That's what I mean.
You got to get him the ball where he wants it and get him his, I would say, 12 to 15 points a game.
It was the great Steve Nash line, and he was always so good at saying this, and I think this was in 6 Seconds or Less, the book that came out about D'Antoni and the Suns and all that kind of stuff. And D'Antoni always said one of the best things about Nash was the fact that he was so good at knowing who needed touches and to make sure that we never ran a play for Sean Marion, but Sean Marion at least got the ball enough that he would hustle down on defense and lock down whomever he was facing.